Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. And he said unto them, to his disciples, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Preach the gospel to every person. That's what this word creature means, to every man and woman. Preach the gospel. He that believeth, believes what? Believes the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Now I want to talk to you tonight about this subject of baptism, what it is and is not. Some of you have asked me about believers' baptism, and I don't take those questions lightly, because this thing of baptism is a God-given ordinance, and I don't take it lightly. So I don't take your questions lightly. In fact, when it comes to baptism, I'm fearful. When it comes to baptizing somebody else, I want to be very careful. It makes me fearful. I think I understand something about what Paul meant when he said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Well, didn't Paul have the same commission that the Lord gave here? Yes, he did. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He had that same commission, and he did baptize some. He said that right before this. But what Paul means here is he was fearful, and this is what I'm fearful of, is playing any part in giving any sinner a false hope of salvation. Paul had baptized some, but Paul went about preaching the gospel, not trying to coerce sinners to do anything, not trying to coerce them into being baptized and making a profession of faith. He said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Since the fall of Adam, since Adam disobeyed God in the garden, and men fell in him and have been born of his corruptible seed, man wants something. Man wants something, that some act, something he can do, whereby he can come to God and have some reason to glory and something he's done to bring him to God. And therefore, it's no great feat to try to persuade and coerce sinners to do something. That's no great task at all. Sinners are willing to do something. God has to make us willing to do nothing. That's what sinners are not willing by nature to do. Sinners are not willing by nature to do nothing to be accepted of God, but to believe on Christ. They're not willing to do that. Sinners will do anything you tell them to do, as long as that something gives them just a little bit of room and gives them some reason to be able to glory in that thing which they have done. The Lord Jesus rebuked the Pharisees, and he said this in Matthew 23:15. He said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he's made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. There's nothing more damning, absolutely nothing more damning, than for a sinner to imagine that by some act, like baptism, that he's earned salvation. Nothing more damning. So let me begin by stating this as firmly and as clearly as I can. Salvation, by baptism, is not salvation. Baptism has never saved anybody. Never. Every believer is saved by the grace of God, by Christ, through faith, through the work of the Spirit of God within them. Salvation is of the Lord. That's what we preach. Salvation is of the Lord. Baptism is an act of obedience to our Lord, wherein we are confessing that our salvation is all accomplished by Christ. That's what we're confessing in our baptism. There's some necessary things that have to come before baptism. Look there at our text again. Verse 15, he said unto them, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth, he that believes the gospel and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Before baptism even enters in, God has to give us life. And he's got to give us faith. He's got to give us repentance. That radical change that God works in the sinner when he turns us completely about face and makes us to repent of everything we once thought about ourselves and everything we once thought about God. And all this work is done through the preaching of the gospel. The gospel, truth, the good news, the truth of Christ and Him crucified. There is another Jesus being preached in this world. There is another Jesus that's being preached. Another Jesus who accomplished absolutely nothing. He didn't accomplish anything by what He did. That other Jesus entirely depends upon a sinner to do something for Him, to let Him do something for them, to make His blood effectual for them through their act of believing or through their act of being baptized or something of that nature. That Jesus is not the Jesus that I preach to you. That's not the gospel that I'm proclaiming to you. That is another gospel. Paul said, which is not a gospel. It's a perversion of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's deception. Anything that makes salvation to hinge upon your will, your work, what you've done, something you have to muster up in yourself, something that you have to produce, anything that makes salvation to be contingent upon any such thing is not true. It's not the gospel. It's not the truth. That is not baptism at all. Anybody who is baptized to make that little Jesus' blood effectual, to have some saving efficacy, has not truly been called of God and has not truly been baptized. That's free will. That's man's will. That's man's work. That's man's God. That's man's Jesus. That's the figment of a corrupt, depraved mind that man has created in his own image and says, now, this is my God. I'll bow down to Him because He can't do anything but what I let Him do. That's a lie. The truth is, salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? It's impossible to call on somebody, believe on somebody that you haven't heard about. It's impossible to call on them to save someone to save you whom you've not heard about. It's impossible. It just can't be done. So first of all, baptism is not salvation. Baptism doesn't make Christ's blood effectual any more than faith does. It does not. Baptism is not the putting away of our sin. Christ by Himself purged the sins of His people. Baptism is not how we're born again. It's not how we're dedicated. It's not how we're rededicated or anything of that nature. Baptism is not any of those things. So what is baptism? I'll give you three headings here that'll be our divisions for tonight. First of all, baptism is the public confession of our sins. Secondly, baptism is the public confession that we believe Christ has accomplished our salvation. And thirdly, baptism is a public avowed commitment to Christ. Now, let's look at those three things. First of all, baptism is a public confession that all I am is a sinner. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. Hold your place in Mark 16. Let's look back now at Matthew 3, verse 5. This is speaking of John the Baptist, when he came preaching the gospel. Look at what it says. Matthew 3:5. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. You see that? They were baptized of him, confessing their sins. Now there's no doubt that they confessed they were sinners to God before they were baptized, and that they stopped boasting in anything that they were doing or anything that commended them to God or anything that would cause salvation to be based on some merit in them. There's no doubt they did that before they were baptized. But when they were being baptized, they were confessing publicly before everybody their sins, their absolute inability to come to God to do anything for themselves. Now, the gospel that we believe, it says, go preach the gospel, and him that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, the gospel we preach declares this first. All flesh is grass. All flesh is grass. The gospel declares that in my flesh dwells no good thing. My flesh is what I am by my first birth in my father Adam, from my father Adam. And in my flesh, it doesn't matter if I'm baptized. It doesn't matter if I walk on crushed glass. It don't matter if I pass through the fire and cause my children to go through fire. It does not matter. Nothing I can do in this flesh will please God. Absolutely nothing. We're not confessing that by being baptized we're regenerating ourselves. That's not what we're confessing. We don't preach baptismal regeneration. Some people do. We don't preach that. We don't preach that we're being regenerated by our baptism. Baptism's not even a picture of regeneration. Circumcision is the Old Testament picture of regeneration. Circumcision. But we're confessing that we are such sinners. This is what you want to know what baptism is. We're confessing our sins. We're confessing we're such sinners that the Spirit of God had to first create life in us. That's what we're confessing. In water baptism, the believer confesses that we're so sinful that it's through the gospel that the Holy Spirit has entered into us and given us life where there was no life before. Look at John chapter 3, verse 3. John chapter 3, verse 3. The Lord Jesus Christ told Nicodemus plainly. He told him clearly. John 3, 3. Nicodemus was a man who was steeped in religion. He was a man who was a master in religion. He was teaching. He was a man who people looked to lead him. He was, as the Lord would describe him, he was a blind leader of the blind, is what he was. And he came to the Lord speaking commendable things to the Lord, and the Lord stopped him in his tracks and said, you can't even see the kingdom of God unless you've been born of the Spirit. We know the Lord knows who's been born of the Spirit. He's the second person in the Trinity. He's God the Son. He knows who's been born of His Spirit. And He made this statement to Nicodemus, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So, we're confessing. Look at John 6, verse 63. John 6, verse 63. We're confessing, we're agreeing with Christ in the confession of our sins when we are baptized. We're saying publicly to everyone in that water baptism what the Lord said right here in John 6, 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, their spirit and their life. That's what we're confessing. We're confessing that we did not choose God. We didn't even have any ability within ourselves to choose God. That's how deep, dark, and dead we were. We didn't choose God. We're confessing He chose us. And He came and preached the gospel to us. And He revealed Christ in us by His Spirit. And our flesh profited nothing in the whole matter. That's what we're confessing. In John chapter 5 there, in verse 40, John chapter 5 and verse 40. Now look at verse 39. He told them that he knew his word had no place in them. And he said, for whom he hath sent, whom God hath sent, you don't believe. They didn't believe on Christ. That's how he knew. And that's how we know. You don't believe this true and living God. Now here's what they would do. He said, search the Scriptures. That's a good thing to do. Search the Scriptures. That is a good thing to do. But now listen to what he teaches them. For in them you think you have eternal life. That's what most men search these Scriptures for, looking for something they can do to bring themselves to God by themselves so they can glory in themselves and have some reason to say, I had a part in salvation. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. That's what he told them. And he said, and they are they which testify of me. This whole book, cover to cover, God's going to have one preeminent before his people. And that one's not me, and that one's not you. That one is his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the Scriptures that testify of me. From Adam all the way to John writing Revelation. This book's about Christ. It's about him throughout the whole book. He says, verse 40, and you will not come to me that you might have life. Do you see that? This is what we're confessing when we come to the Lord. Look at John 6:44. This is the sins we're confessing in water baptism. We're confessing John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. That's what we're confessing. When Paul was born of Christ, you might want to look at this in Acts 22. Acts 22. I'm going to have you turn to these Scriptures tonight. I want you to see these things. Acts 22. Whenever Paul was born of Christ and he was truly converted, the Lord sent Ananias to him with this gospel. Acts 22 and verse 14. He said, verse 14, this is what Ananias told him, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee. See who did the choosing? The God of our fathers has chosen you, Paul, that you should know his will in redemption, his will in his counsel to honor his Son and to bring honor and praise and glory to his name through the redemption that's in his Son. And to see that just one. And see, he's turned him completely away from him. He's saying, you haven't done any choosing, Paul. God of our fathers has chosen you. And he said that you should know his will, no longer be boasting in your will, and that you should see that just one, the Lord Jesus Christ, and should hear the voice of his mouth, of his mouth. So there's no merit in us, and we're confessing. This is what we're confessing. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. This is what we're confessing. True believer's baptism. Second Thessalonians 2:13. We're confessing this of ourselves. This is what we're saying about ourselves. We're bound to give thanks always to God because we're brethren beloved of the Lord. He beloved us. He loved us before. Because God hath from the beginning chosen us to salvation. That's what we're confessing. He chose me. I didn't choose him. He did it through sanctification of the Spirit. He had to come and give me life and set me apart by His Holy Spirit and make me to see Him. And belief of the truth, He did it through His gospel that declared the truth. Whereunto He called me by that gospel, that good news, to the obtaining of the glory of my Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we're confessing, I'm nothing but sin. I'm nothing but sin. He's done the entire whole work. Well, but don't we repent? We believe the Lord? We do. But even then, you know what we're confessing? We're saying we have repented and believed on Christ for this reason. Look at Acts 5:31. For this reason. Because all my days, and this can be said of you and I, all my days, I've been crucifying him afresh by rejecting him, by not believing on him, by hating him in my heart of hearts, being enmity against God. But he says, but him hath God exalted with his right hand, a prince and a savior. And here's why I repented. For to give repentance to Israel. He gave it to me. He gave me repentance and forgiveness of sins. You see, when the Spirit of God comes, he convinces us of our sins. He makes us mourn our sins. He makes us see there's nothing good in us. He makes us to confess to God our sins and stop our boasting in ourselves of what we've done for God. And he makes us to start glorying in what God has done for us. This is what's involved in confessing our sins. Well, didn't you believe on him? Yes, but even as Paul said, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which he has before ordained that we should walk in them. This is what we're confessing when we confess our sin. Somebody say, well, when I believed the Lord and I confessed him in baptism, I didn't know all that. All I knew was, I'm a sinner. You did know all this. You may know it better now because you've been taught the word. You may be able to even articulate it better now than before. All you could do is smite upon your breast and say, God, have mercy on me, the sinner. But you knew when you heard this word preached, declared to you that there's no good in you and that salvation is by the work of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit through Christ Jesus, the God-man mediator. You said, amen, that's how I was saved. So, in this ordinance of water baptism, this ordinance in itself, just as we confess to God our sin, and we no longer boast to men about what we are, what we've done, we're confessing publicly that we're sinners and that life and repentance and faith and forgiveness of sin is the gift the triune God has given to us in Christ by his grace. So first of all, nobody is truly baptized and nobody can truly be admitted to this ordinance who has not first acknowledged their sins before God. Not truly. You see, you remember when they came to John, there were some Pharisees and different ones came out, and he said, you brought forth no fruits meet for repentance. They had none of them renounced the fact that they thought they were the elect of God because they were the sons of Abraham, the natural children of Abraham. They hadn't renounced the fact that they thought they were sons of God because of all their washings and their ceremonies and all the things they had gone through and all the things they had done by their hand. They in no way would bow to Christ and say, he's all my salvation, A to Z. And in that, they didn't confess their sins. They wouldn't confess their sin. That's what the Lord does for us. He makes us to confess our sins. Secondly, let's look at the next thing. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. This is what our gospel declares. This is what our gospel declares. First of all, we're sinners. None of this is due to anything that we've accomplished. Nothing. But here's secondly. Water baptism is the public confession that we believe that our salvation is in Christ by his finished work. By his finished work that he accomplished for us. Look at Romans 6, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ, would probably be better, unto Jesus Christ, were baptized unto his death. What does that mean? It means, therefore, we're buried with him by baptism unto death. That's what we're confessing. That we're buried with him by baptism unto death. That we're buried with him. Buried with him unto death. Buried with him unto death. Now, here's the first thing we're confessing in baptism. You have that pool, and it is a grave. That's the picture. It's a picture of a grave. And so, whenever we go into that watery grave, and we're buried in it, we go down under that water, and we're buried in that grave, we're confessing that we were crucified, and that we died when Christ was crucified and when he died. That's what we're confessing. You see, we became sinners by the disobedience of one. And believers, God's elect, those he's chosen and given to Christ, they are made righteous by the obedience of one. Now, look back with me at Romans 5 and look at verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners. That one is Adam. By his disobedience, everyone he represented became a sinner. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And that one is Christ. Moreover, the law entered. Why did it enter? Why did the law come in? That the offense might abound, that we might see how truly we fell in Adam, how deplorable our sin is, how awful our condition is, how we cannot possibly save ourselves by our own obedience. But where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the one who is the obedience we got to have. What do you mean by that? I mean that from the time that our Lord was born into this world, he was not conceived in sin like we are. So he's holy from the womb, in the womb, that holy thing. And he come forth out of that womb. This is God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God. He came forth and took our flesh, and he walked as a man, as the Son of Man. The Son of God walked this earth, God-man, all God and all man. He walked this earth obedient to the Father under the law as our representative from his birth all the way to his death, even the death of the cross, Paul told the Philippians. His obedience is the obedience we have to have. His obedience is the obedience whereby God's people are made righteous. Now, he obeyed in everything that he did. And he was that spotless Lamb of God. You remember how the Lamb that made atonement, that Lamb had to be perfectly spotless in the Old Testament. It could have no blemish in it. It could be had to be thoroughly, totally spotless. Christ, and they put that Lamb up, and they looked at him, and they examined him, and they made sure that that Lamb was spotless. Over and over as our Lord walked, the Pharisees examined him, the Sadducees examined him, the Herodians examined him. He was brought before Pilate, and Pilate examined him. He was brought before all this council of men, and they couldn't find any sin in him at all. He was spotless. And being that spotless Lamb of God, he's a fit one, a fit man, the just one, to be made what his people are. Just as that lamb was brought and they put their hand on the head of that lamb and they confessed all of their transgressions and put their transgressions in the sins that they had committed on that lamb, so Christ was made sin for us. He had to be, because God's declaring his righteousness by what he's doing. He's declaring he will by no means clear the guilty. He's declaring that, and God will by no means condemn the just. So Christ has made sin. He's made what we are. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And having been made sin for us, now God, in righteous judgment, in righteous just judgment, poured out all of his wrath of judgment upon Christ Jesus for the transgression of God's people that now were made to be his. He was justly stricken by God. And when he did that, this is the solemn thing that strikes our hearts and puts the fear of our God in our hearts when he reveals Christ in us. When Christ did that, this was a baptism. He described it as that. He said, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened until it be accomplished? This is that baptism we're talking about. He went to that cross, and his baptism, in that baptism, he was immersed. He was immersed in the righteous judgment of God, in the fiery, just judgment of God Almighty. It flooded him. It flooded him completely. I want to give you some scripture. Psalm 69, in verse 1. Psalm 69, 1. If you read the Psalms, if you really want to get the blessing out of the Psalms, read the Psalms as David being a picture of Christ. David read these Psalms as Christ speaking with the Father and the Father speaking with Christ. And you'll get a lot more out of these Psalms. Psalm 69:1. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire, where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters, where the floods overflow me. This is justice. He's standing in the room instead of his people, as the substitute of his people, getting what his people justly deserve. He's getting it now in strict justice and righteousness. Look at Psalm 18, verse 4. Psalm 18, verse 4. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The floods of Belial made me afraid. In Lamentations 3:54, look, you can look at Psalm 42. Look at Psalm 42. Let me read this to you from Lamentations 3:54. Waters flowed over mine head, then I said, I am cut off. Remember that's what he said in Isaiah 53? He was cut off out of the land of the living. He bore that flood of judgment, immersed in the flood of judgment on behalf of his people. You remember the ark in Noah's day? Peter tells us that that ark's a picture of Christ and that it's a picture of baptism. And he said whenever that ark was sitting there, that ark was there and Noah entered that ark. And he entered that ark and God shut the door and he shut him up in that ark. When he did that, God broke up the water spouts of the deep. It started flooding from the ground up. And God opened up the heavens and it started raining from above. So that ark is completely immersed, top and bottom, all the way around, in the flood of judgment that comes upon it. Psalm 42:7. This is our Lord Jesus Christ. This says, Psalm 42:7. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. This is what Christ endured. And at last, when it was all finished, and he said it is finished, and he gave up the ghost, at last his lifeless body was taken and was buried in a tomb. Buried in a tomb. We're confessing in water baptism that we were spiritually in Christ, and he was baptized, when he was baptized unto death, and we were baptized in that into that death and buried with him. That's what we're saying. Romans 6:3. Know ye not that as many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? We're declaring that I'm a sinner. That's all I am. I'm confessing in water baptism, I'm a sinner. That's all I am. But I'm confessing that when he lived obediently, his obedience is my obedience. I'm confessing, I believe that when he was immersed in the judgment of God and crucified and even unto death, I was too. And I'm confessing when he was buried, I was buried. Right there. We don't sprinkle and we don't pour because neither one of them is baptism. The word baptism means immersion. That's what the word means. It means immersion. We're saying we were buried. When he was buried in judgment, we were buried. That's what we're saying. When he was buried in that flood of judgment, we were buried. And because sprinkling and pouring and those things, they don't at all declare what he did, what he bore, what he endured. That's why we go down under the water in a grave and we're buried into that, immersed in that water. And we're not saying that we're washing away our sins and that we're remitting our sins by that. When Peter said, be baptized for the remission of sins, that word for is the same as if you say because. For, because. We're baptized because our sins have been remitted. We're baptized because when he did that, he put away our sins himself. He purged our sins. And that's what we're confessing. We're confessing that we believe by his death He accomplished the purging of our sins by Himself. Romans 6:6. Look there again. Knowing this, that our old man, that man we are in Adam, is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. You know what happens when a body goes in the grave? It's destroyed. Our sin, our body of sin has been destroyed, that we henceforth should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. You know what that means? That man that's dead, the law's got nothing else to say to him. Law, that man that's dead, he's freed from sin. The word means freed there means justified. I'm cleared of everything that God, all charges, everything the law has to say against me. I'm freed from all charges because Christ bore in His body everything that I deserve. Knowing that ark, when they went into that ark and that flood began, came upon that ark, in type, in picture, everybody in that ark died just like everybody outside of that ark died. You know what the difference was? Those that were in the ark bore that flood for them. And they lived because of that. But those outside of that ark died in the flood of judgment. Brethren, that's what we're confessing. Therefore, we're buried with Him by baptism unto death. And then secondly, we're confessing this too. We don't stay in that water though. And our Lord didn't stay in that tomb. Our Lord, 3 days later, He came out of that tomb. He came out. And He ascended to the Father. And they watched Him go up to the Father. There He was. He went up, ascended. And they watched Him. Just stood there and watched Him go up to the Father. And this is what the verse says. Verse 4. We're confessing publicly that we arose from the grave to heaven's glory when He arose. Verse 4. We're buried with Him as by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Why? Because if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. We have been. We were quickened together with Him. When He arose, we arose. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that's dead is free from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe, and this is what we're confessing by baptism, when we come out of that watery grave, we believe we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, He dies no more. Death has no more dominion over Him. It did, but it don't now. For in that He died unto sin once. He did die unto sin, but He's not anymore. But in that He liveth, He lives unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what I'm confessing. That's what I'm confessing in believer's baptism. I'm confessing in believer's baptism that my old man, everything I am, all the sin and corruption that you see and all the things that might offend you about me and everything that I am, that man's dead. Before God, I'm dead. I've been crucified with Christ. My whole body of sin has been destroyed. Judgment's been passed upon me. I've died. I've gone in the grave. I've suffered the eternal, just suffering that must be met to declare me absolutely just with God. Yeah, it's all been done. And now I'm raised and I'm alive unto God through Jesus Christ my Lord, seated with Him at the right hand of God. That's where my life is with Him. I'm not of this world. I'm not even in this world. I'm there with Him right now. It's a done deal. It's accomplished and it can't be unaccomplished. It's settled and it will never be unsettled. It is done and it won't ever be undone. That's what I'm confessing when I go into the watery grave. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. That's what I'm confessing. So first of all, I'm confessing I'm sin. That's all I am. Secondly, I'm confessing that when He lived, I lived. When He died, I died. When He was buried, I was buried. And when He arose, I arose. And then here's the third thing. In believer's baptism, we're confessing that we're committed to Christ walking in newness of life. You went in that grave, an old sinner, and you're coming out of that grave confessing, I'm walking anew. I'm a new creature. I'm a new man. Baptism is our public avowed commitment to Christ, to His gospel, and to our brethren to walk with Christ as a resurrected people in the newness of life. Look at verse 12, Romans 6:12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that reign, that's a key word, that you should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Don't yield unto that master anymore, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. That's what believers do. And that sin won't ever again reign over us so that we can somehow be separated from God. Because that new man is born within. He does not sin. He's born of God. And His seed remains in us so that we can't ever stop believing God. And we can't ever be turned and separated from the love of God in Christ. We have this assurance that that will never happen. Look at verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. 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 Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. That's odd talk, isn't it? That throws people for a loop. What do you mean? You live, but yet not you. The life that I now live, he said, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of. He's not saying faith in. Although he lived by faith in Christ. He walked by faith in Christ. But he's saying, I live now, and I'm kept now, and I'm preserved now. And the law and sin shall have no more dominion over me now, because I live now by the faithfulness of the Son of God. That same one who loved me and gave himself for me dwells in me, and now by his hand of grace upon me, he upholds me and he carries me and he strengthens me in that inner man, and he makes it so I can never again be separated from him forever. That's how I live. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, unto Christ, this is what we've done. We've put on Christ. We robed in His righteousness. Any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us unto Himself by His Son, Christ Jesus. That's 2 Corinthians 5:19 and 20. That's what it's saying. Look at Paul, Galatians 6:14. So am I going to turn back to the law and start saying, well, now by that law, I'm going to sanctify myself? Oh, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? The flesh profits nothing, brethren. We're not going to turn back to Him. That's what we're saying. I'm committed to Christ now. I'm following Christ. I'm led of the Spirit of Christ. I'm walking after Him. I'm walking by faith. And He faithfully keeps me. Look at Galatians 6:14. But God forbid, He's saying there, let's go back up. Verse 12, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. They want to bring you back under the law. Back under the law. You ever had a preacher do that? Ever had a preacher tell you, now, all that's fine, and you can say that you're saved by grace through faith in Christ and everything, but now, except you keep the law. Now, you got to go back to that law of Mount Sinai and start keeping that law if you're going to be sanctified. Why does he say that? Why would a man teach that? Why would a man bring you back in bondage under the law? Well, Paul said this is why the Galatians were doing it. He said, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. The next time somebody tries to tell you, yeah, but you got to keep the law of God, I tell you what you can tell them, believer. I have kept it. I have kept it in every jot and tittle. My righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. I have fulfilled the law through faith in Christ. His obedience is all my obedience. Every bit of it. I'm as righteous as God is righteous in my substitute and representative. But this is what Paul said. This is commitment to Christ. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Now you want a rule to walk by? You want a rule to walk by? All the believers under the rule of the law. This is what Paul said. As many as walk according to this rule, the rule I just gave you. He said, peace be on them and mercy upon them and upon the Israel of God. Well, Peter called this the answer of a good conscience toward God. And I don't think I'm going to have time to cover that with you. But let's go back now to our text. Mark 16:15. The believer walks before God desiring to do what's right, to do what's in well-doing. That's what we desire. And we'd rather suffer for well-doing than evil-doing, because we know that Christ also suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, quickened by the Spirit. And so we know that as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, and we arm ourselves with the same mind, because he's risen. He's gone to the right hand of the Father, and angels and authorities and powers have been made subject unto him, so that we're not going to be brought back under the power of any. He's not going to allow it. And so we arm ourselves with the same mind, because he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. This is the will of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Follow him. Walk after him. Hear him. Is it that the law of God is bad? No, the law of God is holy and just and good. And we delight in the law of God after the inward man. The problem is, I can't keep it. That's the problem. That's why Christ came. That's why Christ came. So back in our text. Now, he said to them, Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now this is the gospel we preach. This is the gospel. He that believeth. Do you believe that you're sin, that's all you are? Do you believe that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes? Do you believe that of God you are in Christ? And of God, Christ is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that you glory only in the Lord? Do you believe, or are you persuaded now by what he's done for you, and you believe and trust him and follow him and are committed unto him? Well, that's what the gospel declares God does through the Word. And God does it as it's being preached through the Word. And we believe him. And when we believe him, and we're baptized. We follow him. All those three things is what we confess in baptism. And we shall be saved. Now, if somebody says, well, I don't believe that. Well, he that believeth not shall be damned. It's just that simple. He that believeth not shall be damned. It doesn't say he that is not baptized. You see, there's many that'll say, I don't believe what you just preached, that's been baptized. Maybe been baptized umpteen times. But they ain't ever been baptized the first time. If God hadn't called them and birthed them by his Spirit and made them to see Christ as all, and they're nothing. So that's what we've seen. Now, you got it? Water baptism. Water baptism. It's a public confession that I believe the gospel of Christ in my heart. I believe that I am sin. Nothing but sin. That's all I've ever done. That's all I'll ever do. The Spirit's given me life, repentance, faith. It's all of God. I'm confessing Christ is all my salvation. He's all my salvation. I lived in him. I died in him. I was buried in him. And I'm risen in newness of life in him. And we're confessing that we're committed to him, to his gospel, to his people, to walk in newness of life. Now, I want to give you one last word. Do not be baptized simply because you had never been baptized. Don't be baptized because you feel guilty that you ought to be baptized. Don't be baptized because someone else is being baptized. None of those are reasons to be baptized. Don't be baptized to please somebody else. The person who's pressing upon you in that way to be baptized is probably in bad air themselves, may need to be baptized themselves. Don't be baptized for anybody else. Faith is personal. Faith is personal. And this confessing Christ in believers' baptism must be because you believe on Christ. It's not because somebody forces you to. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Let me give you this one last thing. If you want to look at it, Acts 8:36. Whenever the Lord sent Philip to that Ethiopian eunuch, he preached the gospel to him. And it says in Acts 36, "And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Now listen to Philip's answer. And Philip said, "If thou believest..." Let me give you time to get there. Acts 8:36. "As they rode along, they saw some water. Certain water." You think it was an accident they came to that water right at that time whenever Philip was finishing up his sermon and the Spirit had come into that eunuch and given him life and faith to believe? You think it was an accident they came to that water? It was a certain water. They came right there by God's predestinated appointment. And that eunuch said, "See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, here's what he said. Listen to this now. "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." You know what he just said? "I believe he's all my salvation. I believe he is A to Z, the fullness of all that's required, and I'm complete in him." That's what he said. And Philip commanded that chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. So that's the prerequisite to be baptized. Go preach this gospel, and he that believeth. That's the prerequisite to believe God. Now, one thing, if God has called you, if he has called you, and you believe that all your salvation is the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, then confess him in believer's baptism. It's the Lord's will. He's commanded it. It's the ordinance of God, even as the Lord's table is. He's commanded it. Whenever Ananias came to Philip, to Paul, and preached him that what God had done for him, when he finished, he said, "Why tarriest thou? What you sitting around thinking about, Paul? You sitting around thinking about all you've done in direct contradiction against Christ? You sitting around thinking about all your sin and all your rebellion and how all these so-called works of righteousness have been nothing but vile, God-hating rebellion? Is that what's stopping you?" "It's all washed away," he said. "Why are you tarrying? Get up and be baptized," he said. That's what he said. And this is what the Lord said. "Whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men, he that's ashamed of me, he that's offended in me, he that says, no, I don't believe all that about, I don't believe I'm all that dead, and I don't believe he's all that all. Well, he says, if you deny me before men, he says, you shall be denied before the angels of God." The number one way to come to Christ is to come to him in as a mercy beggar, desiring for him to be all your salvation. You'll have it if you come that way. You'll have salvation. You'll have all. Christ our all. Amen.